in creation. Also, his worth in creation. His relative worth in creation. Allah shows him as being a little above angels in estimation, in worth. And that's another distinction of our religion, isn't it? That Allah tells us that we have been created in our original make a little above angels in value, in estimation. Now, don't you know that should bring a renewal of spirit to you in the West who have been made to believe that man is born in sin, that man is created and doomed by his own nature to be a sinner, and something must happen extraordinary out of the rules of law of nature to redeem you? And on and on and on it goes, and I don't want to shame anybody anymore today, so I will stop. So I realize that some of you who greet me, assalamu alaikum, are Christians in disguise. And I want you to be comfortable as possible. I shouldn't say you are Christians. You are bad Christians. Because if you were good Christians, you wouldn't be in disguise. Jesus said, why did you come and arrest me according to their gospel? Their report of the gospel. Why are you coming and arrest me in the night? Which means to say I have done everything in the open. I don't go disguised. So why are you Christians come here disguised? But Peter was one quick to disguise himself, I think. Yeah, he disguised himself. He pretended he wasn't even a follower. Now, this is their report, not ours. He said, well, I don't even know the man. But the same one said, and he left the key to me. The key of heaven and hell. Well, that's for another day. But it's good not to forget, isn't it? You know, there's a saying of the wise men who study and value history. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And I bear witness that I have seen that. I have seen that in my short life. They forget history and find themselves unknowingly repeating it. Because there are forces out there that are doing the same thing that they did thousands of years ago. They haven't changed. Their way of keeping things under their control essentially the same today as it was thousands of years ago. And they have prepared for you seasons and garments to wear. And if you forget history, you're going to find yourself in their garments and under their seasons. So God says to his man that he created, tell them their names, inform them of their names. What does this tell us about Adam? See, we must understand, the prophet said that every revelation, every verse of the revelation has an applied meaning that you apply directly, and it has also an implied meaning, an implied meaning. So it is broadcasting from two directions. It is broadcasting in two veins of communication, such is the nature of communication. Now, Allah says, inform them of their names. He says this of Adam. And when Adam informed them of their names, God said to the angels, "Did not I tell you that I know what you know not? I know what you know not." Now here is Allah clearly separated in identity from angels, and raised and glorified high above angels. The angel is his creation, and the angel is not so special in his creation that he can't create something even a little more above angel. If he wants to, he can create something above angel. So he created a man, and then to have the man challenge the angel, say, "See now, you thought you were the best. You thought I couldn't do better than you. You thought you were the highest. But look what I've done. I've created a mortal here with defects. A mortal here subject to error, but with a perfect nature and an urge to perceive all that he can. I have created an intellect." That's what Adam was, an intellect. God created a curious intellect. And every child is born a curious intellect. He has to grow. If he studies and pursues the paths of wisdom and knowledge, he will grow to be intellectual. But he is by nature created an intellect. Every creature, male and female, is created with an intellect. Created with intellectual curiosities. He said, "Hold it, how is this intellectual curiosity when he have not yet become academic? He's not yet been exposed to the higher knowledge, the higher learning, etc., etc." Oh, yes. But what makes that possible? You just coming in contact with that? Many of you have come in contact with that. And you wear the name doctor. And you're so stupid, you can't stay out of jail either. And you can't stay off drugs either. So what is the proof that you have really come into that intellectual life? Your behavior doesn't convince most of us. Yeah. And most of you all are in charge of the world. The mess is not our creation, it's yours. So you're not so convincing with your degrees and your credits. The wise among you know that that's not possible for them unless it comes by way beyond and out of their control. What must precede that Greek expression in the brain or in the intellect of man? The wise say, a nature given, God given, natural urge. A certain learned man have written a book. Many others have too. And he titles his book, The Intuitive Edge. The Intuitive Edge. And in this book, he goes forward to establish that what has made the difference between poor performing societies and great performing societies is this intuitive edge. You don't get this intuitive edge from books. He establishes that. You don't get it from books. You don't get it from your professors. They can't give it to you. When you got it, you're not in control of it. You cannot yourself even control it. It works for you, but you have to wait on it to work for you. It's something that is given to you by God, the intuitive edge that man gets that puts him in a better circumstance and better situation than those who have not yet come into it. The intuitive edge. Some have called it the sixth sense, intuition, true intuition. They've called it a sixth sense. Many of us confuse things that have a semblance of intuition, of this intuitive spirit and urge activity in us, and we think we have it, and we don't. Or we think we've witnessed it in other people, and we haven't. But if you really know what we're talking about, it's something that you cannot get at your command. You cannot get it at your command. You cannot give it to somebody else. Allah must create you with it, and Allah must make the possibilities for you to really realize it. Allah must bring it to you. The power, the intuitive spirit, the intuitive activity and power in the mind, the soul, and mind of man. And I say man, we mean male and female. He said, inform them of their names. So this tells us that the first urge in that progressional line of life, developmental line, is the urge to know. Now, I have studied babies myself. Babies do not come here with foolishness on their minds. No matter how foolish the parents were, no matter how foolish the household is, the new baby does not come here with foolishness on its mind. They work with it daily and work with it all day long sometimes. And baby. And the baby look at it and say, what the hell's going on? And after working on it for days and weeks, after a while the baby, the baby done got it. But you had to work on the baby to give that baby that silliness of mind. The baby come here as Allah created it, with an intelligent mind, with a sense for intelligence. Yes. Now I still address and still have the great edifice, the great structure, building the human person in our focus. Now return to something else that science has brought to our attention. And that is difference between the preparation of life for its future needs and performance, given that life in the womb of nature, in the womb of the mother, called the period of gestation. For different creatures, this period of gestation differs, for some long, for some short. It is the time spent in the womb, from the time of inception, or conception, to the time of delivery, 9 months or whatever, the period of gestation. For the human being, it seems that the period of gestation is about midway. It's in the balance. It's midway. You can't say he's really the one representing the shortest, and he's not the one representing the shortest, the longest. It seems that his period represents a kind of midway. And Allah has said that he has made you a midway nation. Ah, he has made you a midway nation. And he tells us that he has put everything in the balance. Everything in the balance. And you must face the scales one day. Ah, buddy, buddy. How sweet it is. Now, the period of gestation for the human being in the womb, according to science, the information that we get from modern science, is 275 days. 275 days. The huge animal, the elephant, has a much longer period of gestation, 645 days. The opossum, that some of our people in the South learn to eat and relish and love, because steaks were out of the question. You know, many of us don't understand why we love certain things that the doctors say is good but bad for most black people. They stay away from that. It's bad for most black people. You get high blood pressure, you get this and you get that. You get gout and you get this and you get that. A lot of us don't understand why. We ate so much of that stuff until, you know, you take a little pause and you might get by. But you keep on taking a lot of it, you'd be in serious trouble. So because of not having better available, we had to eat that kind of stuff. And if you eat it long enough and you're hungry, and tomorrow, what you got to eat? You're hungry. What you got to eat? I got to eat fat, get some fat back to eat. Oh, it's good. You're hungry in hell. It's good. So after a while, you begin to remember that as tasty. Ooh, it's so tasty. Say, what are those things that you're eating? Oh, these are chitlins. I've never seen those before. What are they really? Are they hog bowels? They are delicious. And you don't understand why. The world doesn't understand why. Why those things are so delicious to them? Oh, you were hungry. Tomorrow you get up hungry and ain't nothing there but some hog bowels. You wash them out, season them up, fry them up. Put enough sage and peppers and stuff on it to kill the dung taste. The dung taste, not the odor. The odor just rise up above the sage and everything. And you just start sucking on that stuff. It's delicious. You're so hungry. You ain't tasting nothing but sage and pepper and stuff. And grease. And rags. Sucking on rags. What a shame. Shame that we ever had to be put in such circumstances. You know, they say culture tastes. You know, germs are cultured too. So you can culture taste for something bad. It just means bring the habit about. Make it habit and make it and establish it. Then it becomes culture, the culture. Soul food, the culture of the soul folks. Well, that's important too. We're getting help to learn more about the knowledge of this Muslim diet, Islamic eating habits, etc., and also the benefits of it. And a book was put in my possession here recently by a brother Mahmoud and the staff of our paper, the photographer and reporter and graphics man. He's doing many jobs. It's a great addition to the staff of the journal. And this is one that I had nothing to do with getting him into the office. When I knew anything, he was there, and they didn't have to come with me. I told them, don't come to me. I do not want to have anything to do with your organization. You have to handle it yourself. And they have done wonderful. They have gotten some excellent help. And Brother Mahmoud, Atiq Mahmoud, and also in Sister Aisha Mustafa, the one who really carrying the responsibilities of editor right now. In fact, I don't know why she's just not called the editor. So that's what she's doing. That's what she is. She's handling the responsibility in a marvelous way. I'm not criticizing at all here now, because you know circumstances that you're aware of, things that I'm not aware of. I'm not there with you. And for all we know, Sister Aisha has refused to be given such, to be addressed as such. I don't know. I don't know at all. But I know one thing. I met with people who are responsible for the office, and they appreciate her work just as I do. And I think she's going to have even a better future with us pretty soon, very soon. And she deserves it. This sister is outstanding. There are many others, but I'm just so happened that this is the one that I mentioned today. These two persons, Brother Atiq Mahmoud and Sister Aisha, who work in the staff of the Muslim Journal. I have observed her over the years. Hard worker, serious worker, professional worker, very Muslim-like person. Ain't for no monkey business. Dedicated, committed, alert and sensitive, and will, as meek and soft as she appeared to be, she will stand up when she has to. Yes, so the human being has a gestation period that's kind of middle in the range for the creatures, for the gestation period for creatures. What does this gestation period tell us for the different creatures? And again, according to science, its observations, it tells us that these created forms have in their clocked in their created form. It's clocked right into their created forms. The influences for their survival and their needs. The conditions and influences for their survival and their needs. Because we know the outside challenges, all of us, doesn't it? When we are born from our mothers, well, it's too much of a challenge. God, after the period of gestation, brings us under the mother's care directly, where before we were just living in her system, upon her system. Living in her system, upon her system. Then he delivers us out from her system, severs the cord, the umbilical cord, and brings us out as a separate system. But that separate system cannot survive on its own. So Allah has put the mercy, the love, the caring nature in the mother in order for you to make it and be prepared eventually for your challenge, your task in the environment. Now, there's another period, the maturation period, huh? Is that what it's called? Maturation? Period of maturation, where you go from delivery to maturity. And they say this growth process for us is about 20 years before the growth process is completed and we stop growing. Maybe some will stop earlier, maybe some will go on a little longer, but for the great majority, the standard, is the rule is that, about 20 years. How long is it for the other creatures? Much shorter. Much shorter. Some of them have longer periods of gestation than we do because, as the science explains, they have to be prepared for the wow quick. They have to be able to come out right now and rip and run and go. And we know that certain animals, they come right from their mothers. You see the pictures on television so good now in many ways, especially those nature series. Those series on nature. You can see, they let you see the delivery right on television, educational television. You can see the delivery. You see the animal just come out, just delivered. And it shakes itself and it stumbles a little bit. Pretty soon it's gone. It's running right with its mother. So where the gestation period may be long, when they come out, they're ready. They don't have to wait for too much growth and maturity to be able to perform just like the adult. Now we know that they can't perform everything. They have a period too of maturation. They have to wait for certain physiological needs, organs and perform and functions in them to mature so that they can mate and reproduce and all that. We know that. But still, for them, it's much shorter than it is for us. For them, it's much shorter than it is for us. Allah says He has made signs in the skies and signs in the earth. But how many of us go along just not caring, not even paying attention, heedless, not paying any attention? The help is out there to help the intellect come into its destiny, its human glory. It's out there. The help is out there. But Allah says, look how many go along, unmindful, paying no attention. And He says, and also there are signs in you. There are signs in you. And that's what we're talking about now. The focus is on us, the human being, the person. Then there are signs in you. Gestation, maturation, this long period of maturation. A scientist, a man of science, and an author of a book titled How the Brain Works. He says something that I'm sure you can find in many books on the brain, on this subject. He says of human growth, the human growth, this period of growth or maturation that is about 20 years in the human being, that the thing that is readily observed in that period of growth is the brain. He says, when the first form of life can be observed, even then it appears that the brain is taking the lead. And we've seen pictures of the early, what they call the fetus, and the early forms of life in the womb. You see a little, something look like a, what's that, the tadpole, right? Something looking resembling a tadpole. And a big lump at the end, at the head of it. That big lump is that brain. That's what Allah has made to operate for the good organization and government of that body. So it has to grow fast and grow big in proportion to the rest of the body. A sign of the bigger importance on the human intellect, the bigger importance on the human thinking ability, rational ability, brain. And again, it is good that I tell you this, which you know, but to hear it the way this learned science scientist, a student of science and professor of science has put it. He says, and I'm really giving it to you, this is my expression, to the best of my knowledge, that says what he said. The function of the brain is to make sense out of what goes into it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, how many of these people who follow modern pop culture have brains that are operating properly? If the function, the true function of the brain, the real function of the brain, is to make sense out of what goes into it, then most of the people following the trends of pop life and pop culture are not really having true brains. Because to be having true brains, the brains must be functioning in the way that brains are to function. They're not trying to make sense out of anything. They're following blindly the trends of ill-formed life and behavior. They represent deformity of life and behavior, deformity of life and behavior. And you don't have to be told that. But you do it in fun, and you have been sensitized to be amazed or surprised that anybody will speak in any way critical . You think, oh, it's only fun. You're supposed to appreciate fun. He has no humor. He has no love. Yes, that's the way we've been sensitized. Turn on the TV. There are some people doing the dog. They don't call it a dog now, but they're doing the dog. Right. And the cameraman, he got the camera on the dog. Right. Not on a human being. Yeah. Not on a human being. On the dog. Right. And he's shooting the dog from different angles. He shoots the dog from the top downward to show you how the dog look in his action from down view. Then he goes and he put the camera up under them, and he shoots up under them so you can see the dog from up under the underside. And they just doing the dog. And they don't tire. They have a little break for the record to be changed, and they get right back into doing the dog. And that's the behavior that we accept. And it's presented to us on television to influence our little babies before they can even grow up to take on the right behavior, influence them to come up too, just getting their satisfaction doing the dog. I observed a little child, a family. I was in their home. And this one of these what you call them? They don't call them bandstand kind of shows. Were on Soul Train, Bandstand, you know, brother. One of those kind of shows were on. And the older children were into it. They were into it. They were looking at it and just watching it with interest, and every now and then one of them would do a little dog. The little baby that was about two, not quite two, very expressive, very intelligent, had no interest in what was going on that television. Now we know that some little toddlers even, we will be so tickled to death because they have worked with that little toddler to teach that toddler how to do the shimmy or the dog or something. Oh, look at him. She can dance. Look at him. Hey, that little thing is so cute. Look at her dance. Doing the dog. That's because somebody just worked with her and encouraged her in that. They encouraged the little child in that. But leave the little child alone. The little child ain't interested. They see that as foolishness. Their brain is still in the natural state. It wants to make sense out of what goes into it. A sense of self makes living better. The crowds that follow those trends and that kind of behavior, do you think the world is going to be in their hands tomorrow? Do you think they can secure life, the world, establishments, institutions for the generations to come? No! They're seen by those who are in control and in positions to secure the future of nations and society. They're seen by them as the waste of society. The waste. That it keep them from being a trouble, from making mischief, leave them to this silly frolicking, this silly fun. So they are written off. They are written off as waste on the planet. But to keep from getting in the hair of the wise and the people with bigger things on their mind, let them frolic and play, accommodate their foolishness. There's much more to be said, but we'll leave it for another day. Who knows? It might get even still better, and we might not have to bring up the evils of the world. Now, Allah says of the human person, this creature he made for excellence, who go along heedless, forget his maker, forgets his maker, etc. He says, does he reckon that there is no one in charge of him? Does he reckon that there's no one in charge of him? Ah, what a great revelation. As all the revelation is. What a great revelation. Does he reckon, does he figure? You know, say, well, I figure I should go tomorrow. See, you might not know reckon. That's the old down home term, the reckon. Does he figure that no one is in charge of him? Now that's another observation that we have to make when we are examining our departure from the good state that Allah wants for us as creatures. We have to look at that. Some of us think that we shouldn't be under any authority. We are not anarchists in the proper sense of the term, but we are anarchists even in a worse sense. We are anarchists with not even the knowledge that we are giving ourselves to unruly life and behavior, where we respect no authority and think that we shouldn't even be under authority. Well, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. I don't want nobody. Ain't nobody gonna be over me. I walk in no man's shadow. Yes, you do. You walk in Satan's shadow when you're talking like that. You're walking in Satan's shadow, in the shadow of Satan himself, when you're talking like that. Does he figure that no one is over him? No one is in charge of him? Allah is always in charge. Allah is always in charge. But when you forget him, he forgets you, as it has been given today, has been recited in the verses from the Quran. When you forget him, then he forgets you. Not that he has human makeup, he forgets you like you forget. It means that you disregard him, you write him off, he writes you off. Leaves you on your own. And whoever he leaves on his own, male or female, the devil is assigned to him as an associate, as a companion, as a friend. The devil. Now, you think that those people who are in that ugly disposition and spirit really don't have anybody that is in charge of them. But understand that Allah says whoever He writes off gets a devil as an associate, as a guardian, as a guide, as an advisor, etc. Now, you may can't, the devil is a term, he has a mystery about him, the Satan, the devil. There's a mystery about him. You may can't see him through the veils of mystery, but let us look at the consequences. For after all, we cannot see Allah either, except through veils. Huh? He's too above us. He's different. You can't see him except through veils. And also, we cannot see Allah directly. For He told Moses, "You cannot see me directly." Moses wanted to see Him. This is in the Quran, in the Revelation. And He told Moses, "You cannot see me directly. No one can see Allah directly. But we see Him by indirect approach to what we want." All right. So I believe that we can't see Satan directly, but we can look at the mess and see him in the mess. All right. So here you are saying, "Oh, ain't nobody over me, ain't nobody over me," but you can't go to school this morning. And we know that going to school is going to put you in a better situation for the task of living in this world. But you can't go to school this morning. You can't get your head away from the box or the coffin, whatever that thing is they carry around, the music makers. Look like they're carrying coffins of dead babies on their shoulders.